Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so Impact, as you know, is a feature that we have every Monday where we speak to people who are just incredible, who some you may know, some you may not know, and are just making incredible strides in our society. Some are running NGOs, some are running companies, some are just individuals who are doing amazing things. So today we have someone running a business. However, that's actually making quite a huge difference in our society. You may know the name. He is quite active, but maybe you don't know how much he's doing out there. Simpiwe Masiza is in studio with us, and he's a founder and CEO of Empower Works. They know what you do, but I think you punch way above your weight. And as a result, I think you do far more than the profile says that you do. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Aspimelo. Such a privilege, honor. And thank you for inviting me. I hope I will have something meaningful to contribute. And also to my kids who are listening, Sanbonani.
I often think that entrepreneurs is not necessarily made. It's just something you have in you.
Yeah.
Because it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is. You must have a thick skin.
Yeah.
Because if you are not cut for this journey as an entrepreneur, you are not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this space for almost 25 years, formally so. I started with a company called Riahona Project Management. It was during the advent.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the split, then I was 51% shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
The other 49 was owned by a white, owned entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved into management consulting, largely on strategy and transformation. My last stint was with Gejima AST as a GM, projects 22 years ago.
Mm.
I then decided to pursue, just decided. I remember I had a fight with the HR director. I was 3 months in the business, and I called my lawyer, said, I don't see eye to eye with this HR director. I'll never forget.
Mm.
My lawyer said,
did you do a huff and a puff and a walk out and a banging of the door?
Banging of the door, and then I left 22 years ago and I started this company.
But it was always a dream, right? It was always the days.
Look, I grew up in the days of Abotamatiso. I grew up in the days of Ekasi. It's a cliche that we grew up poor, going to school without, shoes or provision. But I've been a hustler at the age of, 12. I was a gambler. I was one of those few people back then. I was a Knox man. My mom was a sheep queen.
Mm.
I was a hippie in Prince, and hopefully my dad is gonna be a hippie king. I grew up in that environment, but I knew that I was destined for greatness, and I was governed by three things. I normally say to my friends that I was governed by a belief that your future and your destiny is a direct proportion of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If you re-engineer, the way you think, you reinvent your destiny.
Yeah.
And I normally say to my kids that if you want to change the play, you don't change the actors, you change the script.
Mm.
And I said to them, it's all in the mind.
Yeah.
And I pursued that with every fibre of my being, that I'm just destined to be an entrepreneur. And I've been, as I said, as an entrepreneur, a hustler, from the age of 12. Then I moved into the formal space, as I said, almost 22 years ago. I was running a project management company. I moved into consulting. My last stint was with a listed company where I was a managing director of an investment arm. But I've been always an entrepreneur.
So it's one thing to say these things.
Yeah.
You've been a motivational speaker. You know the story.
Yeah.
Now. You can sell anything to anybody and tell everybody it's possible, even when you know it's back at home, there's nothing. You tell them, you know, it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do that.
Yeah.
And knowing that you have a yearning for something, you have a dream that you've just spoken of, but failing three times.
No, no, I failed.
How many times you go?
Three
times, yeah.
I went back to Orange Pharma in my room three times.
Yeah.
I had a sheriff coming to repossess my stuff.
Yeah.
I had staff leaving me. Mm. I had all the challenges that a typical black entrepreneur will, will encounter. But, as Robert Schuller says, tough times never last.
But when
tough people do.
When a sheriff comes,
it's an embarrassing.
The same sheriff comes three times to your premises to try and attach because you haven't paid suppliers.
Yeah.
How do you come back from that? What do you say to yourself?
No, it's resilience. It's a... It's you have a foresight, you have a dream, and I knew that my dream must transcend the challenges that I'm encountering.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bigger picture. I had a foresight, and I live by simple philosophy that even in winter you don't burn your furniture, to make fire. And I've carried that resilience. I've carried that. That foresight, I'll transcend what I'm experiencing now.
Mm.
Because, as I said, I was driven by, a bigger picture that one day I'll run Empowerx.
Yes.
Which I think it's one of the incredible, entities with a number of platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our platforms are transformative platforms.
Yes.
We do an incredible work when it comes to youth in this country. We run one of the biggest platforms called Empower Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest platform that is called Empower Entrepreneurs Funding Summit, where we connect up to 1,500 young people with 200 funders.
Mm-hmm.
In one room last year, we put up to half a billion in one room with funders. Your VCs, your venture, your capitalists, equity, equity financing, and all that in one room, and we curate those experiences. And events or platform, because we believe that as an entity we need to create an impact over and above making money. We do provide services to listed and unlisted entities around comms, brand, PR, media events. But where I get joy, it's where we take an Empower Youth platform to Orange Farm and impact up to 20,000 young people, inviting up to 200 companies, up to 450 executives, and we're creating lasting relationships.
You've just really comprehensively explained what EmpowerWorks is and what it does, because there are some things, some misconceptions that you're dismantling here.
Okay.
There are people who want to invest.
Yeah.
There are entities and companies and individuals who want to invest, who say, show me a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Show me someone who can do something amazing, who wants to innovate and all of that. So where's the disconnect? Where is the disconnect? Why is it that this economy doesn't seem to reflect that?
No, I think it's also a global challenge. The disconnect... especially if you look at the Empower Youth, if you go to industry, they will say we can't find talented
young
people.
That's what they say. Yes, you see them
every day. Basse Kasi, basse Orange Farmer, basse Alexandra, basse Kailicha. You go to young people. They say we can't find industry.
That's it. So what's happening?
That's why we have Empower Youth.
Yeah.
What we do is that we have a platform where we connect unemployed, talented, young people that are that are passionate with industry, and how we do that is that we run it in a form, you know, of an event, and we curate those connections. We'll bring funders to ideas. We'll bring graduate development programs to young people that are looking for experience. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing this perfectly. It started in Orange Farm because I grew up in Orange Farm because even the Bible says you must start in Judea or Jerusalem. But start where? I've been reading the Bible from Genesis to Soapy Generation. That's why I've forgotten the scripture. But start at home. And we started in Orange Farm. We've been in Orange Farm. We started Empower Youth almost 7 years ago. We have replicated Empower Youth throughout the country. We have done all the 9 provinces. Mm-hmm. We have impacted up to 55,000 young people. We have created unprecedented opportunities for young people. We do have the stats. We do have the impact reports. We have worked, up to the office of the presidents, the NYDA, the private sector, including the NGOs, where they're saying, we want to go and connect with young people where they are.
Tell me what you see happen to a young person who has the passion, has the drive, has been out and about looking for opportunities, and suddenly it happens.
There's a light, yeah. No, it's also like me. When the person that inspired me, it's a gentleman called Dr. David Mlapo.
Yes.
I was at grade 12, staying in a room. Attending. It was a conference, mm-hmm. and I think we're at Standard Bank Arena. And then he came in. Dr. David gave a talk, and they spoke about 3 Ds. Mm. He said, "Young man, you must have 3 Ds. Mm. Desire, determination, and discipline."
Was that the I Can program?
The I Can program. Yeah. I had a paradigm shift. Mm. I knew it on that day that I'm destined for greatness. Mm. As I said, I grew up Kokasi. You'll have your typical challenges that a young man in Kokasi will have. Mm-hmm. Peer pressure, onahana or clever. You are despondent. You don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in your dreams. But it was a shift. And as they say, the rest is history. What happened when we bring Empower Youth? Yeah. To different jurisdictions or areas, is that after then, young people, they're inspired. They want to pursue their dreams. Mm. They want to pursue their careers. We're enlightening them about other career, streams and opportunities. Mm. And 9 out of 10, we took this, platform to, Northwest. We're expecting up to 500 young people. We ended up with 2,000 young people. Mm. Balabakena, I was paying the young people to say, even though Regadula Fazi, they were sitting down, and all they were saying that we need an inspiration, but we need to be connected to industry. Mm. And I normally say to people that the youth of today, all they are looking for is an opportunity.
And unfortunately, sometimes there's the narrative that they're lazy, and that's not true. See them.
Look, as I said, we have impacted up to 55,000 young people throughout the country. We've been working on this platform, the Empower Youth platform, for the past 7 years. Mm. I can tell you that they are not lazy. They are genuinely looking for opportunities. So is myself. I grew up in Orange Farm. People that you'll think that I was lazy. I was only looking for an opportunity, for me to unlock what God has given me. And I can provided me, with that opportunity. The rest is history. Because I'm just replicating what I've experienced, when I was working with the I Can Foundation.
After having struggled, Orange Farm, a shack. Yeah. After having struggled the way you have.
Yeah.
Falling almost 3 times and so on in business, and having to pick yourself up all over again all the time. You could have easily just walked away and do you.
Yeah.
I mean, many do that. It's actually almost, obvious that you would do that.
Yeah.
Why the need to come back? What was it about you feeling like whatever you've achieved, you could share?
Yeah, look, I'm doing me. I love what I'm doing. Mm. You know, I could have been a professor of AIDS, you know, but I love what I'm doing. And I'm driven by the philosophy that says, particularly that's why I've started where I grew up, that never forget the bridges that carry you through. Mm-hmm. Look, I normally say to my team that our aim is not to boil the ocean. It's to make sure that we have an impact where we can, you know, a lasting impact where we can. And we have chosen our audiences. It's youth, it's women, it's entrepreneurs, and then it's men. We run one of the biggest men, you know, conference called Empower Men, where we bring up to 4,000 men and we deliberate on men, you know, issues, you know, from GBV to the future of a boy child and all that. But it's not about being a capitalist. Because I normally say to people that what makes you a real person is that you must always extend a hand to your brother and the sister. The little that we have, you know, extend it to, you know, share, you know, with some of the communities and the audiences that we're targeting. As I said, it's youth, it's women, you know, it's entrepreneurs. That's what we do.
You wanted to be a preacher, didn't you?
I wanted to be a preacher. I was an exorcist. Like in some demon.
Where did that come from?
As I said, you know, when we were young, we used to look up to Ntate Rarholela. And we wanted to, you know, I wanted to be an itinerary, you know, preacher. You know, and I ended up, you know, being an exorcist. And, you know, well, believe it or not, I was a demon. And I was influenced by a late, you know, preacher, you know, who I walked, you know, with and I traveled with. I've shared a podium with. But it was just driven by a passion to see people going to heaven. You know, and I guess now what I'm doing is what we call a workplace ministry. I guess that's what I'm doing now with our platforms.
Business can be tough and can be ruthless and there are no friends in business, right? But you stress which can be quite ruthless. And when did you find yourself in business? Because as you said, here you were, you wanted to just make sure people get to heaven type thing. You had rosy tinted glasses, so to speak. When did you find yourself in business as you are with integrity and all and find that balance?
There has been an evolution in my space because when I started in business, as I said, I've started as a speaker, used to do a lot of inspirational lectures. Then I moved into consulting, doing a lot of management consulting space. You know, then I moved into event. I'm in the strategic creative marketing, you know, space now. But also into investment space, you know. I have a number of, you know, small businesses, you know, that I have an interest in. But this is purely, you know, the love of, you know, you want to create opportunities for that emerging generation of professionals, largely young people. You know that also, you know, a business, if you're doing well in terms of liquidity, it just gives a bit of influence and affluence, which it has been my aspiration, you know, to, but then influence to use your affluence, and I know that I might sound like a poet, to use your affluence to influence people to reach, you know, their God-given, you know, destinies. And whatever I make out of EmpowerX, you know, in terms of profits, in terms of revenue, I have that passion to split. And support some of the programs that we run. Most of these programs that we run are self-funded. If you look at Empowerment, you know, it has we've been funding this for the past 5 years and we spend a lot of money, you know. If you look at Empower Women, it's only now that it's scaling. You know, we're earmarking to host up to, you know, 10,000 women. It's one of the biggest platforms that we'll be having this year. It's run by an incredible lady called Sibongile at the office. And we're also launching something called Empower Boys because we're concerned about the future of a boy child. But most of this platform, including the Empower Youth, when it started, we funded this. You know, it's only after 5 years, you know, where we had people to support the girl, you know, we just want to come. And thanks to, you know, FPNM CETA, you know, thanks to TITA, The transport, education, authority, who came on board and said, we like this concept, your NYDA, to say, look, let's accelerate and scale this, this platform. But it's mainly, and this business does that, it gives you, that ability to be able to finance some of your aspirations. Going back, I know I said to myself, I don't see myself going back, to work or submitting my CV. Actually, I don't know how to prepare CV I'm comfortable where I am, and I think that's where God wants me to be, so I can influence people.
Today, obviously we got the Minister of Basic Education announcing the 2024 matric results, and it's tough.
It's tough
out there. There are winners
and
they're losers. But I think some of the most heartbreaking stories are those. In fact, I spoke to a young gentleman here with 7 distinctions, 90% average.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't have money to go to school.
Yeah. It happens all the time.
And I mean, I try to stay positive, but I mean, that reality, I think, wasn't a pleasant one.
Yeah.
And he's applied. He's applied to bursary organizations and all of that, and as fast, but he doesn't know where he's going.
That's sad.
You're one of those people who couldn't really further your studies early on, and has that been a disadvantage?
No, actually, during that time, I passed my matric well, and in the MEC then, it was Mary Metcalf. Mm-hmm. She came in. It was myself and a late friend of mine called Simon Mutley. Mm. And she gave us a full scholarship to go to Vets. Mm. And I said to us, Mary, and I gave her Tobago business. academia, but I gave her Tobago. Since then, it has been an exciting journey. Look, there are ups and downs. Last day, it was a tough in a difficult year, but we are here with God's grace. And therefore, I will, if you're not cut for this industry or you're on the DNA of being an entrepreneur, don't even try.
What does that DNA look like?
It's about resilience. Mm-hmm. It's about foresight. For me, it's about, building relationships.
Yes.
For me, it's about being true to yourself. Mm. And for me, it's about the people that we hang around. I like what one guy was saying, that for friends, you need, one of the 3 things that you need to have, you need to the criteria, that they must bring intelligence, they must bring energy, but the last thing, they must bring integrity. And he was saying, the richest guy, I forgot, and he was saying that first 2, and they don't have the latter, to disregard that, because integrity is everything, and for me, it's being true to yourself, the people that you bring up, yourself, they must also be ethically astute, and people that believe in themselves, and there's no competition, among yourselves, people that will enable you, as a friend, as a brother, as an entrepreneur, to reach your fullest potential.
So, what's that extra factor?
Yeah.
There are many comms agencies and all of that, right? And I'm asking you this for those who are listening, who have the passion and the drive and all of that.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to start something new, right? You don't have to be inventing the wheel.
No.
What is it that you need to bring to that industry that's already full of people like you with the same drive and who have the same kind of business idea and all of that? Yeah. To those listening, what do you have to bring to that industry to make it?
Oh, it's for me, I normally say creativity and authenticity.
Yeah.
And it's also about burning the midnight oil. People think that it's a glamour, industry at a distance. We work. I work until 2 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes my kids, they will say that, even when I wake up, I say, Dad, you're going to another event. Mm. Are you going to work even on Saturdays and Sundays? My team will tell that even on Saturdays and Sundays, I'll be at work. It's about putting the work, putting more, extra hours. But it's also about getting the right talent.
Mm.
You know, and I was saying to my colleagues that, you know, part of my strategy is two things. It's about talent mm-hmm. and it's about revenue.
Mm.
But mainly it's about talent. It's about getting the right people with those three qualities. Mm. You know, intelligence, you know, good energy, and integrity. Mm. You know, people that are loyal to the brand. You know, people that are, you know, are loyal to, you know, to you as a, you know, as a founder. But also, you as a founder, you must also be loyal to those people and make sure that you reward and compensate, especially those that are doing exceptionally well. And a friend of mine was saying that, you know, when people succeed, you must not have one star. You must have a galaxy of stars. And celebrate, you know, the wins as a collective, not as an individual.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, it's very easy to find talent.
Yeah.
Holding on to it is another thing, because, you know, big corporates come with their big paychecks.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're able to yank people away from you.
Yeah.
They may not be happy,
yeah.
where, you know, 5 years from then and want to come back. The point is that they left. How do you hold on to talent?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. But for me, it's also creating a culture that is enabling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to, you know, create a culture and also an environment where people, they know that when we succeed, we all succeed
together. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we fail, we all fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, you know, creating a system where, you know, you reward good performance.
Mm.
You know, obviously, you know, as a small agency, you're always competing with those global as a training ground. Mm. You know for talent.
Yeah.
But nine out of ten, you know, they always come back.
Yeah.
You know, and say, look, we prefer to be in this environment, than to be in a global environment where we are not recognized.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you choose your clients? Are you now at that point?
No, we are not at that point. But we're able to say no to some of our prospective clients.
Which means you are.
Yeah, maybe I are. Yeah, we're able to say no, we can't work with this one.
Mm-hmm.
There were one or two, you know, where we're able to say no, thanks, but no thanks. We can't work for, you know, with you. But yeah,
what would be the reason?
No, reputational issues.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, reputational
totally
issues. Sometimes it's not about, you know, liquidity. It's not about revenue. It's also about reputation and the association that, that you have.
And in the long run, that matters the most.
It
does it not?
No, it does. No, it does. It does. Actually, I've seen it. I've seen another two, where we said no. We started to appreciate, you know, why we said no to, you know, to those clients.
Mm.
We choose. You know, I think maybe to answer, we choose, some of our clients, or most of our clients.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does fear kick in after some time that I may, you know, this may not last the five years, 10 years, 20-year plan, 50-year plan that I have in mind.
Yeah, we don't plan for 5 years now because mm-hmm. of COVID. Because for me, it's you'll have a bigger picture.
Yeah.
But it's about a year or two. It's about mm-hmm. a year or two. Obviously, we do have, you know, a 5-year, you know, strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But largely, look, we are very ambitious as a business.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've just given an example, like now, that Empower Women is going to be one of the biggest platforms.
Mm-hmm.
In August, we want to host up to 10,000 women. We've been running this platform for, you know, the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It has, you know, it has evolved. It has grown to be where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
We are ambitious, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't have a big team,
mm-hmm.
but I have an incredible team that are equally ambitious to mm-hmm. make sure that some of these ideas and the dreams that we have, you know, they're not going to mm-hmm. pass. Sometimes, you know, I think maybe fear. Fear for me. We're just driven. We are bold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pursue inspiring ideas and we pursue those inspiring ideas as a collective, you know.
What is the ultimate? You know, you're speaking now of the numbers
yeah.
and how you're going to scale some of these events
yeah.
And programs. those are just numbers.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate,
ultimate dream?
Because you've, you know, from people sitting where I'm sitting, you've almost achieved the dream.
No, no. The ultimate dream for me, and I'll simplify, it's connecting people and connecting people to their destinies, connecting people to opportunities, connecting people to people, connecting people to God eventually. That is the ultimate. You know, connecting unemployed to opportunities, connecting women to other women, you know, for mentorship, for funding, you know, for coaching, connecting men to be allies. You know, it's at a core of my existence. I normally tell people that I exist to connect people. You know, obviously for now we have a Pan-African outlook in terms of our assets. We want to replicate this, you know, to other countries. You know, we're in conversation with some of the, you know, African countries, you know, outside of South Africa. You know, that is the bigger picture. You know, one of our assets or one of our platform, you know, we are in conversation with a global firm in terms of, you know, coming in, you know, to buy a stake. So we're able, you know, to scale that platform.
Earlier on, you touched a little bit on the needs of both parties, those who are looking for opportunities and those VCs and so on.
Yeah.
In your view, when you look at the landscape, what makes it so difficult for the two to find each other?
It's the same as unemployed youth who are talented who's looking for industry.
Absolutely. What makes it so difficult?
No, because they don't know where to find each other. I'll give an example. When we hosted the Empower Entrepreneurs Funding Summit last year, we had up to 200 funders, and you know, different, you know, different funds from VC, impact funding, ESD, and. And most of these guys were saying, you know, put us in a room with people that have viable businesses. And you find out I have a viable business or, you know, or business plan, but I don't know where I can find somebody to, you know, to invest. And that was our role, because they can't find each other. If you go to a funding agency, I remember we went to one of the VCs and say, look, we want to do this, and say, I will participate on one condition. You do vetting of these guys, because I have an inundation. I have no time. I have no time. That's why, you know, part of what we do, we'll have what we call a pitching festival, where we allow, you know, entrepreneurs to pitch to different, you know, funders. You know, most of them were funded on the spot. Because we had an opportunity to, you know,
to do the work, because
the funders, they don't have time, you know, and they will tell you that we have an inundation of, you know, there's a request. If you want us to participate in your platform, you know, make sure that, you know, these entrepreneurs are vetted and they're viable businesses. And so most of them, they'll also say, look, in these different industries, in agriculture, maybe in tech, you know, in finance. And also, you know, as when we curate that, we make sure that, you know, there's a matchmaking, you know, we connect
values and other things as well, over and above just the numbers.
Over and above the, you know, the numbers. You may find, maybe you don't need funding, you need mentorship and coaching, but you're not aware, you know. But once you are in that platform, you know, you're able to get some of the people that will give you that, you know, that guidance and advice.
So for young people who, we keep going back to these young people who just got the results today, your advice to them, especially those who are not necessarily going to an institution of learning, and the reality is tomorrow they'll be at home.
Yeah. Look, as I said, you know, they must not give up on their dreams. You know, I was looking at a friend of mine, Billy Slicker, and posted something to say, look, I don't have a matric, but look, I'm a global speaker. You know, education is important, but it must not define, you know, your destiny and define who you are. You know, it is important. I tell my kids all the time that education is important. But for those who just passed, if there's no opportunity for you to further your education this year, you could use this year as a gap year. You could use this year to improve yourself. But don't give up on your dream. You know, it might...
No.
I know I said the delay is not the denial. You know, it might delay, but it shall surely come to pass.
I'm going to ask you to put your headphones on.
Okay.
Because we've got a call, and I'm going to open the lines as well, 086-000-0959. Voice notes are also welcome, 063-688-0959. I am here with the CEO of EmpowerWorks. So people know all about the events that you have.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And so this is the bad, you know, you've got the men's conference, you've got Empower Youth, and all of that. This is the guy behind it, Simpiwe Masiza. Dr. Selby is on the line with us, and Dr. Selby is from Orange Farm.
Oh, kaslamakas.
Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Yeah. Good evening, Pastor CEO.
Good evening, man of God.
How are you?
Very well.
Blessed beyond measure. You know, Pamela, I'm very much glad. Honestly, someone from my neighborhood, white and different. Because, Pamela, I've got a problem here at Orange Farm. The youth, Abana. Batho ba e leng gore ba shebelela mo bona ga bana di-mentor. Many people ge their life improve from Orange Farm, they run away from Orange Farm because of crime. And our children, they are left with people who does not have progress in their lives. Ba bona botsotsi e le men, botsotsi le their mentors. Jaanong ke a leboga gore Pastor CEO o etsa mosebetsi o motle, a tswele pele, a gotla tlong ka ba bangwe a ba train.
Thank you, Dr. Selby.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Selby, for those kind words. As I said, we've been doing a lot of work go Orange Farm. For the past 8 years. Last year, was it 2023? As I said, we had up to, you might have seen there was a dome go Orange Farm, go Krisan. EmpowerWorks was the company that erected that dome, where we had up to 20,000 young people, 4,000 young people a day, with up to 200 entities. Bringing opportunities to young people. I also had a tournament in Orange Farm called Masiza, sports tournament, for ladies and guys, and also funded by EmpowerWorks. We're giving hard cash. Actually, we spend up to 250,000, just on prizes, because we believe in the youth of Orange Farm, and we brought in a number of programs, for. But back Orange Farm, we are in conversation now with Innovation Hub to bring it to Orange Farm. We did a last mile delivery Orange Farm with Tita, where we gave young people driving driving licenses, Dakota, and connecting them to some of the opportunities. Up to 500 of those young people, some we connected them to job opportunities. Others were trained on a number of skills, including robotics, cyber security, and some of them are working, therefore, as I said, that, we'll only do what we can, and we'll continue to do, to do that Orange Farm. I think we're all right, as Pamela, that, crime has been an issue, but there's a lot of mentors. If you look at Dr. Ndluzi, Khotlhako Orange Farm. You look at Sphiwe Moyo, Khotlhako Orange Farm. The number of influential people that are coming to Orange Farm. And I normally say to my cheetah, guys, let's do our bit. Maybe get one or two young person that you can mentor. You could provide an opportunity. Because I can't do everything.
Absolutely.
And I've been working, with some of the, political leadership, with the councillors of Orange Farm, to enable, some of these young people to reach what God has given. And we also do other work privately that I can't wax lyrical about it, you know, here, because I'm passionate about young people, Bakokas, particularly Gorange Farm.
Are you optimistic?
Super optimistic. You know, that's the only thing that I have. That's a currency that I have. I have to be optimistic. I'm hopeful about this future, you know, about the future of this country. And I'm convicted that, you know, dinto di tlalo katle, you know.
And is that optimism stemming from the people that you see? Is that essentially what we have going for us?
It also is also stemming from, you know, my evolution as a guy from Orange Farm. I was hopeless. You know, I was hopeless. I was despondent. And if God can, you know, transform such a young person, obviously I'm no longer young now, to be, you know, where I am. You know, obviously I'm still, scratching the surface. You know, God can do it to any person. If God can, you know, transform Opa Sitale, one of my colleagues.
Yes.
You know, who was a taxi driver and now is the lead publicist within EmpowerWorks. I'm optimistic. You know, if I've seen that evolution, you know, with the people that I work with, some of the people when they come working for EmpowerWorks, they come in as a receptionist, they end up you know, as senior managers, and I'm optimistic because I believe in human potential. I believe that we are all endowed, you know, with that greatness. And if I am, you know, based on that, on my own evolution and my own experience, is that it is possible if you create an enabling environment for young people to succeed.
You may not know the number of people you've touched.
Thank you.
You have.
Thank you so much.
And your legacy may never be realized to you because you are living it. And maybe it's difficult to sit back and assess.
Thank you.
But you have touched a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you may not have done as much as you think you want to do.
Thank you.
But the impact has been felt.
Thank you so much.
And so for that, I really salute you.
Thank you.
And thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you so much.
And for so many to do. You
thank
know,
you.
There are many people who would say, I want to.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to empower young people.
Yeah.
I'd love to give back.
Yeah.
But they never get around to it. And sometimes it's not because they don't want to. It's because life is happening.
Indeed.
And other things
Indeed.
Are happening.
Indeed.
To dream that and to actually do it is huge.
Powerful. Thank you
it's
so
really
much.
It's really huge.
Yeah.
And so we commend you.
Thank you so much.
And really, once again, thank you. And may it continue.
Thank you so much. And we, as I said, thank you so much for this platform. We continue to invite partners. You know, if you want to do something for young people, you want to contribute, you want to support, non-financial, financial, whatever. You know, you want to do something for women, for entrepreneurs, for men. You know, please do, you know, keep in touch, empowerworks.co.za.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Look at these people now, only now calling in, trying to talk to you. And because, you know, it's so important that people get this opportunity, let me just actually do this quickly.
Okay.
Tami, why are you so late? Hello.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, man. I just wanted to say one or two things. I've been in one of the tournaments Umashiz has just mentioned.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the man is being very humble about the impact that he does. I'll just give you an example. Nkhalonand West, Soweto. But on hearing on what was happening at Orange Farm, I went to Orange Farm and experienced what those kids experienced. Because you have to appreciate from their point of view, they don't understand what it takes to organize a tournament where there's a lot of teams. And this is done by an entity, man. Not an organization, not some funded institution. It's a private entity ran by a black man who has decided to bring development and assistance to his own people. The story is going to be told, and it's going to be told loud.
Yes.
So that abantu mabethola amathenda understand ukuthi imali yakhona yokwenzani. Not only just the fancy cars. He normally says something to the tune, there's a lot of things he says, to the tune of go to we must lift as we rise.
Yes.
The man walks it. He doesn't just speak it. That's all I wanted to say. Masiza,
yeah,
respect to Ao Chiang. Respect from, like, on the real Ao Chiang.
I appreciate
the things that I've seen you do are flipping amazing, mate.
Thank you so much.
And we still haven't given you your flowers, Ao Chiang.
Thanks, Ao Chiang.
Thanks, Tami. Thank you so much. Oh, that's it. I mean, as I, you know, I could take your quick reaction. People see you.
Yeah.
Do you know people see you?
Yeah, sometimes I meet, people, there was something that was heartwarming.
Yeah.
When I met a lady who was in parliament, she said, I attended your summit. Mm-hmm. I used to run something called High Impact Leadership Summit. She said, I was despondent, I was unemployed.
Mm.
I came in, attended this summit, I was inspired, now I'm a member of parliament. And because when we do these things, you don't know.
You don't know.
And it's only when you meet somebody and say, Masiza,
this is what happened.
I'm now
to
working.
Me.
You're now I'm a CEO. You know. And I can share stories and stories. As I said, it's just God's grace that we are able to accelerate destinies where we can.
Simpiwe Masiza, what a pleasure. Thank you for coming
through.
Thank
you, Sis Pumela.
That brings us to the end of the show. It's 10 o'clock. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.